Chapter 16. Redemption. The line is drawn. The silent aftermath slid through the skies, its repainted hull as red as the Dal Ithan sunset. Violet clouds scudded beneath the Orca as it carried Commander Farsight towards the rendezvous point where he was to meet his old comrade, Shah Vastos. Given the rumors about the venerable commander's mindset, it was not an encounter Farsight was looking forward to. The aftermath had no honor guard of air-cast craft attending it. After returning from Mount Kanji with Oviza's mind-scanning device, the neural crown replete with the totality engram of Master Puretide's brain, Farsight had been left to his original command once more. Clearly, Aonvar considered his dedication to the greater good proven. It was a great relief to be redeemed as one with the Tau Va, the accusations of Vashyar put to one side in view of his success. Still, a strange sense of disquiet gnawed at Farsight's conscience in the long hours of the night. Puretide's warning still lingered, colouring his perceptions. The very idea that not all of the ethereal caste could be trusted was nonsense, tantamount to deliberate idiocy. Yet it had come from his mentor, the wisest of all the fire caste. It was a Fu Lasso mind knot, and it would not leave his thoughts. On the night of his return to active duty, Farsight had ordered his orca painted red in the manner of his armour, ostensibly for the same reason. To honour the blood spilt by the fallen of Akunashah. He knew in his heart it had more to do with him asserting his own identity, reinstating his command on some symbolic level. If he was honest with himself, it was likely because he was not one of the swords of Puretide. The majority of Farsight's fellow Shas-O had gladly volunteered for that elite clique, for the Firecast held the War Sage as a role model, a figure of legend. A simple act of surgery, they were saying, and the commander's brains would be embellished with an engram neurochip bearing Puretide's own thoughts and philosophies. In a way, it was genius, a quick and easy way to access the finest of Firecast strategies in time to bring them to bear on the Dal Ith War, outwitting the Imperials before their intrusion took any more ground. Farsight had politely declined the surgery, knowing the matter would not be that simple. In many ways, there was something that bothered him about the very concept. He realized the Tau Va came first, over and above any loyalty to caste or comrade. Yet Osha Serra, along with Okeus, had studied for many long and hard Tau Sire atop Mount Kanji to fully understand Puretide's wisdom. To merely copy it from his neural matrix, as if he were a machine, and download the information into the brains of living beings, and using an untested prototype at that, felt disrespectful in the extreme. There was a difference between the intelligent application of principles and the direct imitation of past success. It had all the hallmarks of a swift route to disaster, though Farsight could not place why. In the last few rotar, the commander's instincts had been borne out. From what he had heard, those whose minds had assimilated the neurochip had found their personalities not so much complemented as subsumed by the iron-hard mind of Puretide. The inventor of the technology, Oviza, was gifted. Some said he was the finest mind in all of the Earthcast. But Farsight had known him long enough to realize his prototypes tended to be geared around power rather than caution. The scientist was obsessed with the act of innovation and rarely paused to consider the moral implications of his rampant invention. In the past, there had been times when Farsight had thought Oviza did not even understand the concept of morality. On impulse, Farsight patched through to the scientist on his battlesuit's cast net suite, eye flicking the square and circle symbol of the Earthcast with the stylized stone dragon entwined around it.
"Commander," said Oviza,
his flat, broad face twisting into a bright smile. Farsight felt himself returning it. The scientist was always pleased to see him, genuinely so. Despite their differences, the feeling was slowly becoming mutual.
"I take it you have been informed, then?"
"Informed," said Farsight. "About Shavastos's recent incident, you mean?"
"No," cried Oviza, almost beside himself with glee. "That is a mere setback. No, we are to go into battle together. Well, in a manner of speaking. My prototypes will be accompanying you. I have made some modifications since the Gueran Shah breach of the testing facility. I fitted the latest iteration of the pulse driver cannon, and I hear your new Sunforge attack pattern is paying great dividends against those ugly Gwela vehicle columns.
A simple application of vertical envelopment theory, twinned with paired fusion blaster XV-8s, said Farsight. Hardly a tactic worthy of the swords. Is the war ghost with you?
Oblotai 30 is present, yes. And he is not the only old friend of yours I have on board.
Where are you at the moment, Oviza?
Very close. Almost on top of your little craft, in fact. I have stealth fields running that a mere orca could never penetrate. The timing of your call has ruined the surprise.
Farsight frowned, eye flicking to the distribution array, then the exterior screens. Looming through the cloud banks was an Earthcast builder ship so large its cargo bays could have accommodated 100 crisis suits with room to spare. The craft's vast belly blocked out the darkening skies high above. The pressure of its descent buffeting the aftermath so hard, Farsight could feel the turbulence in his control cocoon.
Korwi Yeldi, said Farsight to the Orcus pilot. Give that great sky whale some room.
Of course, came the response, though that seems a harsh way of referring to an honored comrade.
Farsight gave a tired smile and shook his head. The willow-thin aircast usually said exactly what was on their mind, and Korwi Yeldi was always quick to take a shot if he could. Such unvarnished honesty was a valuable asset in combat airspace, when every microdeck could be the difference between life and death. In a diplomatic situation, it could be a liability.
Just concentrate on our flight path, please, said Farsight. Oviza is an old ally of mine. Besides, I prefer to think of him as robust in construction.
I would say he is practically cuboid.
Enough, Yeldi.
The aftermath duly flew lower to compensate, coming out of the clouds. The Ath-Adra command facility was visible in the distance, a series of 5 tall hexagonal structures set at staggered heights, like a zoomed-in view of a crystal formation. The castnet chimed, and the split pentagon of the ethereal cast appeared on his display, the circle atop it flashing gold.
One moment, Oviza, said Farsight,
blink pushing the golden symbol.
Greetings in the name of the Tauva,
came the cultured tones of the ethereal Aon Tefan. Her features were serene, appealing in their tranquility, though Farsight noted her dress was not ceremonial, but practical. By the look of it, she was planning on going somewhere as soon as the conversation was over. Either that, or she was already on the move.
Greetings, honored Aon, said Farsight, blipping the symbol of the greater good. I hear I may be going into battle rather than attending a strategic rendezvous.
That is true, said Aon Tefan. There have been some developments in the shape of the war outside Gelbrin. The Imperials are making a massed push south, towards Ath-Adra.
I see, said Farsight. Well, I am on my way. My battle suit retaliation cadre is not far behind.
Excellent. Commander, the Gweiran Shah are leading a strike at great speed. We have begun evacuation of all ethereal personnel, as well as high-ranking Tau from the other castes, Firecast excepted. Every active commander in the area has been given an imperative to intercept. Admiral Teng is leading an aircast attack run as we speak.
The Swords of Puretide will be in attendance, I presume?
Only Shavastos, and then because he is already here, overseeing the evacuation, said Aon Tefan.
She straightened her garments, a strange expression crossing her features.
In truth, the prototypes have been found wanting.
They have? Said Farsight. How so?
The swords are using the same tactics across the planet in the same situations, said Aon Tefan. They met with great success, initially, conquering nearly every beachhead the Imperials had established. But their strikes are so consistent, so they are becoming...
predictable?
It seems so. The humans are not idiots, despite their appearance. The Gweiran Sha share information swiftly between their tribes and are capable of learning at an impressive rate. Even a theoretically impeccable tactic is found wanting if the enemy is able to anticipate it.
The Space Marines have strict doctrine behind their actions, said Farsight. I have been monitoring it closely, for in the long term, I believe it may be the key to defeating the Imperium's finest armies. In a way, that doctrine has been matched against the Code of Fire. The elder strategists that laid down their tenets of war have been tested against ours.
Aung Tefan nodded sagely.
And ours have been found superior.
Of course. Their modus is primitive and lacking in insight, but it has some basic sense to it. Some of the human organizations, such as those the Water Caste call the Hammers of Dawn, obey its tenets to such an extent their actions have allowed me to codify several of its key points. The ones poor O Kais calls the Ultramarines have exhibited very similar invasion dispersals and battle protocols, a weakness to be exploited in the future.
If only all these humans were as formulaic as you claim, said Aung Tefan.
Do you refer to the anomalous data, honored Aung?
Yes. The humans have been launching attacks with unconventional means. They are deploying warriors that defy easy categorization and are almost impossible to anticipate, for there is no visible sign of their weaponry. The appearance of the operatives and the effects they manifest do not seem linked in any meaningful way. Sometimes the weakest specimens prove the greatest threat.
Surely these incidents are localized and easily avoided, said Farsight. Metaphysical phenomena are not unknown to us. What do the Nikasar have to say on the subject?
Very little, save vague and superstitious warnings. This is not ambient metatech, Commander, nor is it the remote hypnology of the Nagai. This activity is weaponized, for want of a better term. Gulak, mind science, the Earth Caste call it. The Gweiran Sha have been actively using it against us at every opportunity. We have ordered the Shas Atoll to comb their archives, and it seems Commander Puretide never encountered this human technique of war.
To my knowledge, that is true.
The resultant cognitive dissonance is causing the Puretide engrams to malfunction. In places, this has cost the Firecast dearly. The order to rescind the devices has already been given by Aung Va himself. Many of the swords of Puretide are already in custody of the Earthcast and cannot contribute to the war effort at this time.
I see, said Farsight, scowling. And may I ask a question? Are the devices extracted from the host's brains without incident?
The ethereal paused, her expression darkening.
Sadly not, she said eventually. The Watercast will brief you on the details.
I am sure they will.
Because of this setback, we are calling upon those commanders who have not undergone the process, first amongst them, yourself and Commander Shadow-san, to defend Ath-Adra with all available assets.
Understood.
We have reinforcements inbound from 5 other septs, and the Corps Vatra is convinced its fighter shoals will be mustered in numbers enough to gut the Imperial fleet, should it hold its position. We will win this war, Commander, and soon. But should the Gwela so much as witness the craft bearing the ethereal cast from the site, we shall consider the mission a failure. It is of critical importance to the Tauva they escape without incident and are not pursued.
Of course.
We have sanctioned Oviza's inclusion in this matter and the use of whatever prototypes he believes battle-ready, said Aung Tefan. No weapon will be left aside in the defense of the ethereal caste's safety. Given the unreliable nature of the swords of Puretide, we are reinstating you as overall commander for the rest of the Dal Ith war effort. effective immediately. Commander Shadow-san will work alongside you. Do not fail us.
I will not, said Farsight. This I promise, for the greater good.
The ethereal nodded and patched out. As the distribution array's screen resolved once more, Farsight noted not only Oviza's symbol winking in the corner, but the four-fingered claw symbol of the Kreutzshaper Krakor Proc, the stylized electromagnetic pulse of the Kada Fireblade Shazgra of Ralatas, and the split blue triangle of the Aircast. Underneath it, Admiral Teng's Plateau Raptor symbol glowed gold. Scanning the exterior display screens once more, the commander saw the modified Oka Barracuda the Admiral used as his personal craft arcing through the skies ahead of them.
Admiral Teng, transmitted Farsight, an honor to have you as the tip of our blade.
The aircast officer's symbol flashed in affirmation. Then Farsight's heart lurched. The circle of the firecast had appeared, a stylized white spider holding it in its tiny claws.
The Kanji Malkayor.
He gathered his focus, breathing in, out, in again. Hardened his soul. He blink-pushed the symbol. Shadow Sun's face filled the screen, stern and noble. Her smooth features had begun to wrinkle a little at the eyes, but if anything, the signs of maturity added to the sense of power and presence she exuded. To Farsight, the cold severity of her gaze was like a punch in the gut.
Commander O'Shova, she said.
Commander O'Shasera.
Farsight eye-masked the transmission, blocking out everything but the most high-grade urgency protocols.
Your plan, said Farsight.
I will take the fight to the ground assets in the locations appended to this transmission, said Shadow Sun. My carders are already in position, hidden and ready to strike. Do not hinder them with your own efforts.
Her lips were a thin, cold slash. It was an expression Farsight knew all too well.
Kao Yon Shas, sighed Farsight. This needn't be.
Do not call me that. That name died on Mount Kanji.
Farsight frowned and shook his head.
Contrition, an old artifact of speech. But we have a common duty here. We are the true swords of Puretide, not these Vral Jakaras Aunvar has fashioned. You, Caius, and I. And Caius is not here.
He is never here, said Shadow Sun, looking off to one side.
You cannot believe this surgical procedure of Aunvar's does honor to our mentor's legend, said Farsight. It is Oviza's doing, not that of the ethereal master, she said, her tone cold as she turned to face him once more. His was the hand by which the deed was done, yes, said Farsight. But the fact remains, with the vast majority of our commanders out of commission, it falls to us to uphold the Firecast's honor.
Shadow Sun said nothing, which Farsight knew to be as close to an agreement as he was likely to get. Something was strange in her gaze. Not a single other soul would have picked up on it, not even Okeus, but there was pain there behind the mask.
Aun Tefan spoke of the device's extraction, said Farsight. She said it was no simple matter.
It certainly is not, said Shadow Sun.
He saw something flicker in her eyes, some emotion between anger and despair, before her shield of professionalism fell into place once more.
An old comrade of mine, O Mayen, has already had hers extracted.
I remember, O Mayen. Is she still as she was before the surgery?
Shadow Sun's eyes grew thin.
No. She has become as an infant. Perhaps worse. Such is the cost of victory, as the Watercast said.
Farsight felt the truth seep into his blood like poison. It burned for a moment and then grew hot. Hot enough to burn worlds.
You mean to tell me?
He felt the flame of outrage burst in his veins, his lips tightening. His eyes flicked to Oviza's icon, winking in the corner of the display, his mask of suppressed anger turning into a furious snarl.
Commander Farsight, said Shadow Sun, I do not think this cannot go unpunished, O Chasera, shouted Farsight. They take our brightest, our best, and they use them up like ammunition cells. It took them a matter of, what, 2 rota? And what do they leave behind?
Montcasho, said Shadow Sun softly. Don't.
Shavastos has had this procedure, cried Farsight. He was the first to volunteer for it. That heedless fool, Oviza, he just smiled at me a few microdecks ago, like nothing was wrong. How many other gifted leaders must we lose to this colossal mistake?
Shadow Sun's expression told Farsight the answer. It was as stark and clear as thin ice. Ice with deep black waters beneath, so cold they could kill.
By the stars, whispered Farsight, his emotions overcoming him. It's my fault. I took the original engram.
His almond eyes closed involuntarily. When they opened again, they were rimmed red.
What have I done?
You were ordered to go to Kanji by the Ethereal Council, said Shadow Sun, her tone firm but gentle. There was not a soul in the Tau Empire that would have done otherwise.
I know, said Farsight. I know that. I can't believe.
We must believe in our leaders, Sho. That is our way.
A long pause stretched between them.
I know what you are going to say next, whispered Farsight. Trust in our destiny.
Yes, said Shadow Sun, her expression softening just a little.
That might be a good idea. You are right, of course.
He hung his head.
I offer contrition, O Chasera. I shall keep my focus on this matter.
She shook her head quickly, dismissively.
Stop apologizing.
It is not a sign of weakness, Commander. You should try it one day.
Shadow Sun's look of contempt was painful to witness.
You have changed so much, she said, and yet so little.
Farsight shuddered out a breath.
This is a dark time in our lives.
Then do not make it darker, said Shadow Sun. We follow the path to the greater good, as the ethereals show it to us. Even if that path should lead through shadow, we must walk it with our heads held high, and we cannot do that without them, not without risking a lapse into the Mont Au.
The time of terror.
Farsight felt his skin pucker at the very thought.
You near our position, Commander, Shadow Sun said archly. It is time to do what you were born to do. I shall not be found wanting, said Farsight. I promise you that.
You had better not be, or I shall locate Monat Caius and tell him to pay you a visit in the night. I shall see you once the trap is sprung.
Until then, and thank you, Commander.
Shadow Sun raised a perfectly arched eyebrow and cut the link.